So the very last line of Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the Perek, Ochel Kikoseves Hagasa. So the Mishnah told us that someone who eats a Kikoseves Hagasa is that's what's Aser. I think it said Chai Misa. What's the exact line? Kares. Kares, right? Not Misa. Kares.
What is Kikoseves Hagasa?
So Kikoseves is a date, and Gasa is large, so a large date. So the Mishnah says someone who eats a kikoseves hagasa is chayv karis. That's the shear of eating on Yom Kippur. So Gemara asks Bayra Papa. Papa wants to know kikoseves she'amru, that date that we're talking about, is it bigarinasa bar garinasa, the roof, including the pit of the date or below garinasa, or excuse me, does it not include the date? That was his question. And by Rav Ashi asked a different question in regards to another halacha, etzem kisora. The halacha of etzem kisora is if there's a bone left over from a mace that is the size of a sora, a barley seed or something, that's going to be metame tumas mace. So in referring to that etzem kisora, well, what was the nature of this sora, this piece of barley? Biklipasa or below klipasa. When referring to the seora, was referring to including the shell of the seora of the barley or without the shell? Similarly, he asked, bilacha or biyavasha, or was it referring to a moist piece of barley where it was a little thicker? Or was it a dried out, withered piece of barley whereby the shear was smaller? These are two different sfeikos they had regarding two different shearim. One was a suffix about kikoseves regarding eating on Yom Kippur, and one was a suffix or two sfeikos about the seora of the shear of an etzem for tumas meis. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi lo mibay le dahad rapapa. Rav Ashi never had the question of rapapa. Rapapa asked about kikoseves of the Yom Kippur. Why did Rav Ashi have such a suffix? Because gasa itmar. The Mishnah we just said says kikoseves gasa kol gama de gasa. You should have the largest possible shear. So since this is gasa, it seems to imply that including the pit as well. With the pit, when we say what's the shear of eating Yom Kippur, it means the size of a date including the pit, because that's gasa. That means large. So of course, the pit was included in the shear of Yom Kippur. And then the other direction, Rapapa lomi baile had Rav Ashi. Rapapa never had a shaila regarding Rav Ashi's questions of the size of the barley, because lacha is a shibolus mikri, and shelo b'klipasa ushli mikri. If it was called a moist piece of barley, you wouldn't call it a sora. That's called a shibolus. Shibolus is something that's lacha. Sora means something that's yavesha, dried. So he didn't have a shaila about the yavesha. It was clearly referring to a dry piece of a withered piece of barley. And in regards to the klipa or not, if it did not have a klipa, shelo b'klipasa, that's called something else. That's called ushle. But it's not called barley. So in the end of the day, it's a simple reading. Rav Papa says, Sora means a withered piece of barley with the klipa on it, with the shell, and that's the shear of Sora, etzem kisora. Says the Gemara further, Amar of Yehuda, Koseves Hagasa Sh'amru, the Koseves Gasa that we refer to in the Mishnah is Yisera Michabetza. It's larger than a Chabetza. So let's just move. There are three basic shirim we have in terms of eating, let's say. There's Kezias. Typically, a Kezias is the shear of eating. Larger than that is a Chabetza, the size of an egg. And now the Gemara is going to wonder, where does a Koseves fall out?
A weight or a size?
Size. Not weight. Size. Right.
Size?
Yeah, well, their kizasim were larger than we have nowadays. I'm not sure exactly, but there's big machlokes, chazanish, ravna, how large everything was, but larger than the alves that we have. So again, kizais is the smallest shear. Kibetza is larger than that. The question is, where does kikoseves fall? Is that kikoseves is definitely higher, larger than a kizais. Was it less than a kikoseves, or was it larger than kikoseves? So the Gemara says that a koseves gasa is larger than a kibetza. It's the largest of the three shirim that I just mentioned. There's kezias, kibetza, and then kikoseves. The kimle, the Rabbanan understood, they felt, that the behachi mesev daita, that the amount of kikoseves is satisfying to a person. Batzer mehacha lo misva daita. Less than this is not satisfying to a person. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says kimle l'Rabbanan. V'afagav d'chol shir achilas iser, because I see everywhere else, Rashi, Kimle, L'Rabbanan, Kimle, L'Rabbanan?
This is Rashi, right?
Yeah. So it's halfway down.
Yeah, Kimle.
Kimle, L'Rabbanan. V'avagav the whole shir achilas iser b'kazayis. Every other time there's an iser to eat something, you can't eat pig, you can't eat something that wasn't shechted properly, you can't eat chaylev, certain fats. All those, the iser chametz, let's say, the shir of eating is kazayis. Once you have a kazayis, you ate a kazayis, you violate the iser. So to b'yom kippur, it's an iser you're not allowed to eat, it should be also a kazayis. No. Honey mili hecha dechsiv achila. That's only where the pasuk says eating. You're not allowed to eat chametz. You're not allowed to eat treif. You can't eat nevela. Aval hacha doesn't say eating. Doesn't say in the Torah you can't eat in Yom Kippur. It says asher lo seuna ksiv. You're supposed to afflict yourself. V'chol kama delo misfedaita inoyhu. As long as the person didn't satisfy himself, that's called an inoy. Only when the person feels like he's full and satisfied and comfortable, that's where there's an isser. So if a person eats a kazayis Yom Kippur, he doesn't violate the isser deraisa of Yom Kippur, forgetting chatzi shir for now. He does not violate the isser of eating because it doesn't say achila by Yom Kippur. Only if he eats more than that, with the point where he's now really satisfied, is there going to be an issue of eating on Yom Kippur. So that's why they said, misfei daitei, a person feels comfortable. He's satisfied once he's reached the point of a kikoseves, which is larger than a kazayas, and also larger than a beta. The Gemara asks a question from Sukkah. Meisive. Maisa, there was once an event, ve'viul Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai litom es ha'mtashil. They brought Rabbi Yochanan something to taste. Ul Rabbi Gamliel shtei kosfos v'delisha mayim. And they also brought Rabbi Gamliel something different. They had different tastes. Rabbi Gamliel, they brought him two dates. Kosfos are dates, like we said, and a little pail of water. So what did they do? V'amru, both of them said, he'alum l'sukkah. Let's go bring it up to the sukkah. Let's go eat in the sukkah. Because it was sukkah. Sukkah's now. V'tani Allah, and the Brisa that comments on this story, lo m'pnei shehalacha kach. There wasn't a requirement to eat in the sukkah. They really could have eaten outside of the sukkah. They want to be machmir, even though certain things are allowed to be eaten outside the sukkah. And these things were examples of things that can be eaten outside the sukkah. They want to be machmir and eat every possible thing inside the sukkah. Fine. Uchshanasna lo l'Rabbi Tzadok, when they gave it to Rabbi Tzadok, ochel pachos mikabetza, he took less than a kabetza of whatever he was eating. Not lubimapa, he held it in a cloth. Not he didn't wash his hands. So Rashi says, not lubimakba v'achlu shlosha kulin nagba. There's three leniencies that Rabbi Tzadok was knowing. Achash lo nato yadav elach bimapa krach yadav mishmanina dais adas. One thing is he didn't wash his hands. He just took a handkerchief and wrapped it around the bread and ate the bread without having to wash his hands. We didn't read the rest of the Gemara yet. So it took less than a kabetza. And he didn't wash his hands eating bread, obviously. So he wasn't eating, he didn't wash his hands, just covered it with a glove or a handkerchief. And then the Brisa says, v'achlu chutz l'sukkah. He ate this food, this bread, that was less than a kabetza, outside of the sukkah. V'lo beruch achrav, and he did not say bracha afterwards, because he did not eat enough of a shear to bench. To bench, you have to say, have a kabetza. He didn't have a kabetza for bench, for a kabetza, so he didn't have to bench.
So he didn't do anything.
Right.
Basically, it's like an onen.
An onen? Well, right. He said a bracha beforehand. He didn't wash his hands beforehand, but he said a motzi beforehand.
Does he say?
No, but that's the halacha. Let's say you have bread, but you have less than a shear.
That's, okay. You assume that he did.
Yeah, I assume that he did, right. So what comes out from this mission, this brisa, is that we see less than a kabetza doesn't require sukkah. Rabbi Tzadok didn't have to go into the sukkah, he ate outside. Now, if we're saying that a koseves is larger than a kabetza, like we just said before, koseves is the largest of the three shirim. There's a kazayas, there's a kabetza, and a koseves. So if Rabbi Gamliel had two kosvos, he had double the dates, larger than a kabetza, If each kosevos are larger than a beta, certainly two kosevos are larger than a kabeta. So why did he not have to go to the sukkah? The only reason why Rabbi Gamliel went to the sukkah was because he was machmer on himself, said the Gemara. But he really didn't have to. Why didn't he have to? If a kosevos is larger than a kabeta, certainly two is larger than a beta, of course he would have to go to the sukkah. So this seems to be a shaila that a kosevos is actually less than a kabeta. Not only is one kosevos less than a kabeta, but two kosevos are even less than a kabeta. So the Gemara says, ha kibetza by sukkah. So we see, Rabbi Tzadok, only because he had less than a beitza did he eat outside the sukkah. But had he eaten a kebeitza, he would require a sukkah. Now, if you would think, like we said above, that kosevus hagasa shamru that we mentioned above, yisera mikabeitza, it's larger than a kebeitza, hashta steak kosevus below garinan, lava kebeitza. So maybe you're going to tell me Rabbi Gamliel had two dates without the pit. He took the pit out. So he had. But now, so fine, maybe one date without a pit was smaller than a kebeitza. But you're going to tell me two dates without a pit is going to be less than a beitza also? Pits, how big could a pit be? Pits are usually pretty small. So leaving the pit aside, two dates certainly should be bigger than a kebeitza. So the Gemara says, Kosevus hagasa v'garinasa miyavi yaseir mikebeitza. So what's this continuation of the Gemara? Hold on. Ah, so that's the question. So it must be that, in fact, that a kosevus hagasa v'garinasa mihavi yisei mikabeitza, is it really larger than a kebeitza? You have to say that really a date with a pit is less than a kebeitza. And then Rabbi Gamliel had two dates without pits, and that total less than a kebeitza. Because it's impossible to say the other way around that a date with a pit is bigger than a beitza. Two dates less than a pit is less than a beitza. That's very hard to imagine. The Gemara says, no, not true.
But did they eat dates to the into the sukkah?
Or yeah, Rabbi Gamliel had two kosevos. Yeah, remember they brought Rabbi Gamliel two kosevos. He brought him two dates.
וכשנתנו לרבי צדוק אוכל פחות מחביצה, נטלו במפה ואכלו חוץ לסגה ולא בעבירה. That's the same.
It says, Here,
the story of the sukkah here. I'll say you have one.
Shtekotos.
I told you shtekotos.
Exactly. So, Gemara says, I'm a Rabbi Yirmiya in... Yes, it's true, actually. Shtei kosvos below garinan lo havi kebeitza. So two dates without the pits is less than a beitza, but a koseves hagasa vigarinasa, a large date with a pit havi yiseir mikabeitza, is larger than the kebeitza. So we see the pit is pretty large of a date, and when it's a larger date, so that obviously is much more. It's everything becomes larger. So again, yes, einachanami a koseves hagasa with a pit is larger than a kebeitza, and that's a shiur
bechila. So is that including with the shiur, or it's only size as it looks like as a beitza?
Exactly, just because it's a good thing to measure from. That amount, not what you eat from it, but just that amount, a good volume to test. So Amar Papa, Hainu D'Amar Inshi, this is what people would say. People used to say that Trei Kave de Tamre Chad Kave Dikshise Vesariach. So, what does this mean in English? Let's see. Two kav of dates with a pit. I never get these high new, these dumber inches are impossible for me.
So, if you start with two kavs of dates,
mm-hmm. there is.
With pits, okay. You're going to wind up with a kav of pits and some extras and some meat of the date. So it's more than half of the date is going to be a kav.
It's with a pit. Right, I see. So this is a statement that they used to have in those days, that the pits of the dates are pretty large. So never buy a date by its weight. Because you're going to lose out from that. You should buy it. Not by volume either. You should buy it, I don't know.
Per price. Per piece.
Right. The Gemara says now that Amar, Rava Amar, Rava gives a different answer. Rava says, Hasam hainu taima mishum dehave le piri upiri lo baisaka. So, a different point. You're right, two dates is certainly larger than a kebeitza. But Rabbi Tzadok was eating something different than Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Tzadok was eating bread. When it comes to bread, so it depends how much bread you're eating, whether you have to go to the sukkah. If you're having a kebeitza bread, you need to eat in the sukkah. Less than a kebeitza bread, you could eat outside. Rabbi Gamliel was eating fruit. Fruit never require a sukkah. Even though two kosevos are larger than a kebeitza, fruit never require a sukkah, and that's why he didn't have to go to the sukkah. He only ate in the sukkah because of a chumer he took upon himself. And that's the difference, but in terms of shear, certainly two kosevos are larger than a kebeitza, just like one kosevos is larger than it as well. So the Gemara asks the Meisive, Amar Rebbe, Kishahainu lomdim Torah eitzel Rebbe Elazar ben Shimuel. When we are learning with Rebbe Elazar, Havil lefaneinu te'enim v'anavim, he brought in front of us figs and brought in front of us grapes. V'achalmum achilas arai chutz l'sukkah. So we ate a snack outside the sukkah of these fruit. So the Gemara's medayik, achilas arai in, achilas kevalo. Referring to fruit, the only reason why you were allowed to eat fruit outside the sukkah because they ate it in a snack type of way, very temporary type of eating. They were kind of on the run. But had they said, let's sit down and be koveya on fruit and have some grapes and figs, then that would require a sukkah. We just said above, across the board, you never need a sukkah for eating fruit. Here it says, depends how you're eating the fruit. If you're eating b'derech keva in a more permanent, established way, then you would require a sukkah. So Gemara says, no, interpret the braisa as follows. Tweak it a little bit and say, Ema achalnum keachilas arai chutz l'sukkah. We ate them like somebody eats bread temporarily in a snack type of way outside. Meaning, anytime you eat fruit, it's always viewed as an achilas arai. Not that they were eating this type of fruit in an achilas arai way, but if you eat it in achilas keva, it would chayev. No, whenever you eat fruit, it's always viewed, even when you're eating a keva, it's always viewed as eating it as a snack, and therefore doesn't require a sukkah. Then the Gemara says, maybe you could give a different interpretation as follows. Ibai's Ema, alternatively you could suggest, Achalnu machias keva, v'achalnu pas, achias arai b'hadayu, chutz l'sukkah. So what, they were actually eating it, the fruit, b'derech keva.
Well, where are you?
The Ibai's Ema. I'm not sure how this answer is so much different than the previous one. Let's see.
It's a verb before achilas arai. That's the difference.
And then, what would the difference be, though?
So we didn't eat the food like achilas arai, but we ate it. We ate the fruit and achilas arai, the bread.
Uh-huh. And would there be a difference in terms of, would there be a nafka made between these two?
I don't understand. So now, okay, so they had a snack of fruit and a snack of bread.
Right, that's what they're adding now.
Right. Okay. So.
Right. So I think here it says, and what it says here in the footnote, facing the Sefer called Siach Yitzchak, that the difference between these two opinions is that, is there any inyan to be machmir of eating fruit inside the sukkah? Is there such an inyan at all? So it says from the second opinion, it sounds like there's no inyan at all. And the first opinion there, even though you're allowed to eat outside the sukkah, there might be an inyan to be machmir if one wants to be when it comes to eating the fruit. That's what the difference is. I don't know how you read that into the words.
Oh. So we ate the fruit, not like a snack, but a real real meal of fruit,
and a
snack of bread.
So both of them.
So even a real meal of fruit, you don't have to go in the sukkah.
And then according to the first opinion, we say if it was a real meal of fruit, you would have to go, or at least as an inyan.
Yeah, right. It might imply that a real meal.
Okay, but either way, Me'ikar Din fruit is allowed to be eaten outside the sukkah, and that explains, again, this is the second answer of Rebbe Gamliel. Remember, Rebbe Gamliel, we were saying there's a difference. In fact, he had two kosvos. How could he eat two kosvos outside the sukkah? He only ate inside the sukkah because of a chumrah. The first thing we said, because two kosvos are actually less than a kibetza. Now the Gemara says, no, two kosvos is certainly larger than the kibetza. But he was fruit. And when it comes to eating fruit, you're allowed to eat the fruit outside of the sukkah, but there is an inyan to be machmir if one wants to be. Gemara says, Lema Mesaile, maybe we could bring a proof from the following. Lefikach, this is the Mishnah in Sukkah, the Mishnah in Daf Yudalot, I think, that says, Im Hishlim Bimini Targime Lo Yata. So, the lacha is that Mishnah tells us, you see Rashi, Im Hishlim, Rashi says, it's quoting from the Mishnah, Yud Dalet Tzudos, She'odim Chayv L'Echel B'Sukkah, the Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Masechah Sukkah. Rabbi Elazar tells us that on Sukkot you have to have 14 sudos, right? Sukkot is 7 days long. The 8th day is Shmini Atzeres. Ignore Shmini Atzeres for now. That means there are 7 days. First day Yom Tov and 6 days of Chol HaMoed. 7 days you have to have 2 meals a day. One a night, one day. So 7 times 2, of course, is 14. So these 14 meals you're allowed to have, you could finish off Im Hishlim if you complete the meals with Mini Targima. Mini Targima says Rashi's lifson or lifason, some type of dip they would use for bread. I'm not sure exactly what that is.
Liftan.
Yeah, what is that in English?
I know what it is, but I forgot what it is. Liftan.
Is it a...
Liftan, I think it's type of bread.
Type of bread.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Liftan. It might be like it's more of like a mizonos as opposed to a bread, I think.
I think so, liftan.
So, you don't have to have bread for the last meal. You could complete the meals with a liftan, with some type of mini targima. It's called a cake, maybe even a snack. Now, if the Gemara says now, v'isaka daitach, piri bai sukkah, if you held that peros require a sukkah, so then lisnei peros. So then the Mishnah could have taught, why do you need mini targima? Why do you need a cake, if you will, to complete the 40 meals? Fruit, which, if you were to hold fruit requires a sukkah, so the Mishnah could have said you could eat fruit to complete your 40 meals. The fact that the Mishnah never suggests having fruit as the 14th meal tells me that fruit does not require a sukkah, and this serves as a support, a proof, for the opinion of, we just said, that fruit do not require sukkah. That's why only a mizonos, only cake, would be able to complete the 14 meals of the sukkah, but not fruit. Whereas it's, no, that's not a proof. You could say, my mini targima. What is mini targima? It's a very cryptic phrase.
That's what I wanted to ask.
So, mini targima is peros. It's unclear what it means. No. It means peros. That, in Echanami, that's what it says. The Mishnah says, you can complete your 14th meal with mini targima, which means peros. And in fact, it's a rejection of Rabbi Gamliel, of the answer before. Above, we said fruit does not require sukkah, but this Mishnah seems to indicate, according to this interpretation at least, that a fruit would require sukkah, the fact that fruit can complete the 14th meal. Ibais Ema, maybe mini tagmir doesn't mean fruit. Maybe mini tagmir really does mean lifton. It really refers to some type of cake. But this Mishnah is referring to a place where there were no fruit. So that's why you have to use some type of cake or mizonos. But in a place where you had fruit, that where the fruit were common, in Echanami, fruit was able to be used. So there's no proof from this Mishnah in Sukkah about fruit being requiring Sukkah, not requiring a Sukkah. It's not a raya from there at all. So now look at the Tosos for a second. Tosos writes, Mini Targima. Beperka Yashan, and Yashen rather, he slept. It's called Perka, the sleeping in the Sukkah. Gave im hishlim yudal tzudos, shechayv adam lechel b'sukkah, b'mine targima yatza. We just quoted that the 14 meals a person has to have on sukkah, on sukkis, and he could eat mini targima to complete the 14th meal.
That's halacha as well?
That's halacha, no. Perish Rashi, kigon peros, v'kisnen, v'kaflutos, mevushalim, types of fruit, some types of cakes, I'm not sure what kaflutos are. V'hacha mashma, but here it implies, Mini Targima la peros nino. Here it seems to indicate that fruit. How could Rashi's there say that Mini Targima is fruit? Well, Gemara here seems to go back and forth whether or not fruit is the definition of Mini Targima. Vein limo mikan, a person shouldn't learn from here that shio ilu Mini Targima lahashlim shal shuddish shal Shabbos. Ah, so just like Mini Targima in the Mishnah Sukkah says it works to complete your 14 meals, it don't say it comes to, it could teach you, it could complete your third meal, your Shal Shudas meal for Shabbat. Hishim b'mini targima yata. Don't bring me a proof from here. The shiny hasam, it's different when it comes to Shabbos. The yalfinan lahu, how do you know you have to have 3 meals on Shabbos? Midikasiv tulasa zimnin hayom. The word hayom appears 3 times in Parshas B'shalach. Gave man, next to, regards to the story of the man. Shubamakum pas, the man was replacing the pas. Fine. So we see the fact that the word used yom in the context of pas and man tells me that you can only have bread. Only bread works, but not cake and not fruit. None of that stuff works for Shalosh Shittos. Let's say you want to contend, okay, maybe you can be Yotze with Mini Targima, just like Sukkah. But you cannot be Yotze with fruit. The first Tosus comes off saying that you have to use only bread, because the source of Shal Shudus is from Mun, and Mun is supposed to be pas, only bread works. Then he says, you know, there is some room maybe to be Yotze with Mizonos, but that's all he's willing to go. Mizonos is as far as Tosus is willing to push. There are other Rishonim and Achronim who say, no, you can be yotze with fruit even. Bidiyavid, if you can't, if you have no stomach, you're not hungry, you're so full, you can't have mizonos, so then you can rely on fruit. And there's even those who go so far to say, in really, really in a bidiyavid situation, you can't even eat fruit, then you can be yotze with divrei Torah. That's a big chiddush. Divrei Torah works for Shalosh Shudus only, not for the other meals, but for Shalosh Shudus. There is such an opinion out there that one may rely on, and sometimes you can rely on that on Pesach. Let's say Shabbos is Erev Pesach. So Erev Pesach is always the issue how you have Shal Shudus. You can't have bread on Erev Pesach, even though it's Shabbos. And you can't have matzah either on Erev Pesach, so how are you yotze your third meal? So some say you have the meals earlier in the morning.
What's it again? You cannot
have Erev Pesach, you can't have bread after a certain point.
Erev Pesach that falls on
Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
So you need to have Shal Shudus. Okay. So ideally Shal Shudus is supposed to take place after Mincha. So after Mincha, you can't have chametz anymore, it's too late. And you can't have matzah either on Erev Pesach. So what are you supposed to eat with? So some say you could have matzah shir, which is matzah that is made from eggs, which you can't be yotze on. It's not chametz, but you can't be yotze on Pesach. Some say you could be yotze with fruit. Some say, no, forget the mincha. For a special thing, for a special case, you could have both meals before mincha. So therefore, you're allowed to have chametz still before that time. You have two meals early in the morning, you go to shul early, you wash, you walk around the block, and come back and wash again, all before mincha. Special exception, you could have a meal before mincha, shalosh shudus before mincha. Others say, no, worst case scenario, in this case, you could rely on the Dvar Torah, fruit and Dvar Torah, worst case scenario. If you didn't have time, or you weren't able to eat a second meal in the morning, afterwards have some fruit, say Dvar Torah if you wanted, and you'll yotze. Okay, let's continue with the Gemara now. Back to the Gemara. Rav Zvid, we are around eight narrow lines up in the Gemara. Rav Zvid Amar, Kosevas Agas Shamru Chaser Mikabetza. Up until this point, we've assumed that it was larger than a kibetza. Rav Zvid argues and says, no, it's actually less than a kibetza. The hierarchy of shirim as follows. Kazayis is the smallest, now comes a kikoseves, hagasa, and then comes a kibetza, according to Rav Zvid. How does he know this? The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, the first Mishnah in Beitza. Vishame omrim, seor b'chazayis chametz, besor b'chazayis, chametz b'kikoseves. When it comes to the Isser of chametz, not talking about eating here. Eating, everybody agrees, it's a kezias. Eating, whenever the word achil is used, it's a kezias. Here's referring to the Isser of Bal Yiro, Bal Yimatzeh. If you remember from the beginning of Pesachim, the Isser to own, to see, to find chametz. How much chametz is there going to have to be for a person to violate the Isser of owning or seeing chametz? So so Beis Shammai is mechalik. He distinguishes between what type of chametz is it. If it's seor, which is sourdough, they say. So if it's seor, so then it has a shear of a kezias. But if it's chametz, real bread, edible bread, then it's koseves. Then it's a larger shear. Okay. Now, Beis Hillel, where'd I go here for a second? Okay, there's no Beis Hillel here. Okay. There is a Beis Hillel in the Mishnah, but the Beis Hillel is not presented here. So Vahavinam Ba, my time, they wanted to know what's the reason Beis Shammai distinguished between Seor and Chametz. The Beis Shammai is right, Beis Shammai, Nichta Rachmana, Chametz, Vlo Ba'i Seor. The Pasuk should have just wrote Chametz. The Pasuk actually says Chametz and Seor. Why does it mention both? It could have just simply said Chametz and don't mention Seor. Va'na Amina, I would have said, Ma Chametz She'en Chimuta Kasha. The Chametz, it's the chimut is not very hard. It's not so powerful, the chametz. Asr b'kazayis is an isser. The shear of the isser is a kazayis. Seor shechimut kosher, with the chametz is a much stronger form of chametz. So maybe lo koshken should not also be the same shear of chametz? If chametz itself, regular bread, let's say, has a shear of a kazayis, so certainly something that's a much more stronger, a more potent type of chametz, certainly that should also be a shear of kazayis. So then, midifalgino rachmana, the fact that Hashem in the Torah distinguished between chametz and seor, he mentioned both of them. Why? Limda must tell us, limdachal, to teach you, shi'ura shazeh, lo kishi'ura shazeh, to teach me that the shir of chametz is different than the shir of seor. Otherwise, why mention both of them? Just mention one. The fact that he mentioned both tells me that the shirim are different. So once the shirim are different, so what is this shir for each of them? So it says, it must be then, that seor is bekezayis. It must be a kezayis. That's a small shir. And then chametz, which is not as potent, requires a larger shir of a kezayis. So something that's very, very strong, the small shir would be enough to violate it. Chametz, which the shir of chametz, the potency of chametz is much less, you require a larger shir to violate the iser. So chametz is bekikosevis, goes up to the next level. So Gemara asks, trying to figure out still the opinion of Zvid, how do we know that kosevis is less than a kebetza? Now, v'sagadaitach kosevis hagasa shamru yiseir mekebetza, if you have that a kosevis was larger than a betza, so the hierarchy would be kezayis, kebetza, kosevis is the top. If kosevis is really the top, so michti, let's analyze this for a moment. Beishamai ashira denafish mekezayis kamahadre. So Beishamai is looking for the next step up. After Seor has a shir of kezayis, he wants to say chametz has a next level up. So if kosevis is larger than the kebetza, listen to kebetza. He should have went one level up, not two levels up. Or inami ki hadade ninu nisei kebetza. Or let's say you want to say kosevis and kebetza are equal shirim, well, you should have at least taught kebetza. At least why teach kosevis? Why kebetza? It must be that kosevis is less than kebetza, because one up from kezayis is a kosevis. Is that clear a little bit? Again, the shir of seor is kezayis. Kebetza, sorry, right? Shir of seor is a kezayis. Chametz according to Beis Shammai is one up, one level up. Question is, what's one level up? You're not going to go jump two levels from kezayis. You're only going one level up. So the fact that they use a lashon of kosevis tells me, Rav Zvid says, must be that kosevis is higher than a kezayis, but smaller than a kebetza. That's Rav Zvid's complicated raya. Gemara challenges this and says, Mimai, how do you know that's true? Dilma li olam eimalacha kosevis hagasa shamru yisera mikabetza. Maybe a kosevis gasa, a large state, is larger than a kebetza. Hostama, a regular size kosevis, is kebetza, is the size of a kebetza itself. Vinami kiadade ninu v'chad minayu nakat. And it's possible they're both the same, kebetza and kosevis, and he chose one of them, not the other one. He chose a kosevis and didn't choose a kebetza. Well, who cares which one he took? So there's no raya from here that kosevis is larger, kosevis gas rather is smaller than a kebetza. Because again, it's possible that a kosevis gas is larger than a kebetza, but a kosevis stam, a regular kosevis, is smaller. And even if you want to say that kosevis gas is equal to a kebetza, so what's the problem that he chose to compare the chametz to kosevis as opposed to kebetza? That's not a raya that kosevis gas is smaller. It's very possible it's equal to kebetza. So there's really no proof from here, from this Mishnah, that this cannot be the source of Rav Zvid. That again, that Rav Zvid held that kosevis gas is smaller than kebetza cannot be derived from this Mishnah and Beta like we just presented. So what's the source that Rav Zvid held that a kosevis agasa is in fact smaller than a kebetza? The Gemara says, I'll tell you from where. Elam Mihacha must be from the following. Ad kama mizamnin. Up to how much does a person, when he eats bread, do you have to bench on? What's the shir of eating? If I take a little crumb of bread, I obviously don't have to bench. There must be some type of shir that I have to eat in order to be chay myself in benching. Ad kezayis divi Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir held up until kezayis. Once you eat a kezayis of bread, you have to bench. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad kebetza. Kebetza is the shir. You have to have more than a kezayis kebetza. So Gemara says, b'may kamithli. What's the machlokas whether kezayis or kebetza is the shir of benching? Rebbe Meir savar v'achalta zu achila v'zavata zu shisiyah. So just, what does the pasuk say? We say the pasuk, v'achalta v'zavata v'rachta es Hashem lokecha al ha'aretz atova asher nasan lach. You eat and you get satisfied, so there, you're satisfied, then you bench. So how you darshan the words? So Rebbe Meir held, v'achalta zu achila, that first eating, And tzavata, as you see, that refers to drinking. So achila b'kazayas, eating, whenever we see the word achila in the Torah, it always means kazayas. So as long as you ate a kazayas, you have to bench. Tzavata refers to drinking. In fact, the Ramah brings that if a person is actually thirsty, and he ate a lot of bread, he didn't drink anything. So he's allowed to bench without drinking anything. But let's say he's thirsty. He had a full amount of bread, but he's still thirsty. The Ramah paskins, based on the Mordechai, it's best for a person to drink before benching. Based on this opinion of Rabbi Meir, a person should really drink also. Then comes along Rabbi Yehuda, Savar, no. You don't make the drasha of achalta means achila, and tzavata means drinking. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda held, Savar v'achalta v'savata is one phrase. You eat and you're satisfied. Achila sheyesh basvia. You have to eat an amount of food that satisfies you. Ve'eze, how much? Ze kebet. Kebet is larger than kazayis. Kazayis, that's considered eating. Okay, that's a person eats. But you're not satisfied. You're not soveya. So you have to eat a kebetza, which is soveya. Now, v'sakadaita chosevas agasa she'amru yeser mekebetza. So if you held, now let's think from before we go to this line. So right now, kebetza is the shear of sevia. And Yom Kippur has a shear of Kosev Sagasa. So, Kibetza is Sevia, and Kosev Sagasa is Yeshiva Daita. It's Yeshiva Daita versus Sevia. Yeshiva Daita seems to just, what's a good term for Yeshiva Daita? How do they interpret it? Yeshiva Das. It makes a person comfortable, but not full.
So what did we agree that Kosev Sagasa is less than Mitzah or more than Mitzah?
No, we're about to conclude that it's less than Kibetza. We're going to prove why. So right now we have just the terms that kibetza is soveya. Kibetza satisfies a person, makes somebody full, let's say. And koseves, the Gemara told us earlier, was yisuva daita. It was yishuv das. It made a person comfortable, but not soveya. Yisuva daita is less than a seviya. I think that makes sense, right? I mean, I guess yisuva daita means satisfying.
Puts one's mind at ease,
as opposed to sevia, which is a person is full, a larger sheer of eating. So the Gemara says now, v'sagadaitach, three lines from the bottom, v'sagadaitach koseves hagasa shamru yuseir mikabetza. If koseves hagasa is larger than a kabetza, hashta kabetza sevui misvai. Now that we've established kabetza fills a person up, daita lo misvai. It's not going to make a person ease that in his mind. And Allah Shmai Minah must teach us that Kosevas Agasa Shamru Pachs Mikabetza must be Kosevas Agasa in regards to Yom Kippur is less than a Kabetza. It puts a person's mind at ease, and Kabetza, but which is larger, is Misvei, Allah Shmai Minah again, Kosevas Agasa Shamru Pachs Mikabetza. Kibetza misva kuseves misva daite. I'm misreading that last line here.
Why are you misreading? Kuseves misaita the mishavdana. Uvema kipurim, and because of that, you need to understand that biyom kipurim chayav.
I see. Okay. Av
b'shiur shel yishuv hadat. Even when you ease your mind, you chayav.
So I see. So again, el lav shmai mina kuseves hagasa shamru. Pachs mikabeta. It's less than kabeta. And what do we find? What do we conclude? Kabeta misvei. Kikoseves mitva daite. That kabeta, it fills the person up, and that's when you're required in benching. And kikoseves only put the person mind at ease. Sorry.
Chotevet is less than.
According to the conclusion, according to Rav Zvid, right now it's less.
Chotevet gasa.
Yeah.
Is that only chotevet? What chotevet gasa?
No, I think even Kosevas Gasa also, I think, yeah. Because Rav Zvid's initial statement was, Kosevas Agasa Shamru Chaser Mikabeta. And we just brought proof for that line. You're right, he doesn't say Kosevas Agasa in the end, but I think it really means that. And that's how he paskin. He looked, the Rambam says that way, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that Kosevas is less than the Kabeta. So again, just the sheer mark, Kazayas is the smallest amount. Anytime you see the word Achila, it means Kazayas. Next thing up is a Kosevas Agasa that has a shear in regards to Yom Kippur, putting a person's mind at ease. And then the highest, the largest shear is a Kibetza, which is the amount that fills a person up to require to make him have to bench. Okay, we'll stop here a little bit early.